Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. I'll take you back in time a little bit today. I'm beginning high school at Luther Preparatory School, which means, of course, I am beginning my very professional career in theological studies. Right? At least that's what I thought. Which meant that I thought the first week of school, I'm going to read the book of Revelation, and I'm going to figure it all out. This is actually what the guy in the dorm room next to me did, too. By week two of school, we had both pivoted to different books of the Bible, not because we finished the book of Revelation, but because we gave up. Now, why do you think that happened? I don't think it's some profound mystery why we stopped reading Revelation. I think we stopped reading the book of Revelation because we probably thought about Revelation and what a lot of us might still think about Revelation. That is crazy and overwhelming. Here today, just in the first chapter in our text, we have lampstands and a furnace and fire and a double-edged sword. And so we read Revelation and I think quickly we ask, what in the world is going on? What does any of this mean? So we read something that's easier to understand. My advice for you today is don't make the same mistake high school me made. My prayer for you today is that we would all walk out of church after church today with a greater understanding of Revelation and with an admiration for the book of Revelation because it's simple. Today we'll learn that Revelation is all about Jesus, and we'll learn from our theme, our witnessing will live on forever because Jesus, our witness, he lives on forever. Okay, here's how Revelation goes. John, one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, has been exiled to an island called Patmos. He says, because of the word of God and testimony about Jesus. Because he told people about Jesus. Actually, we are told, if you look at history, that every single disciple of Jesus was brutally and gruesomely killed because of their faith quickly after Jesus rose and appeared to them. So Jesus died on Good Friday, rose again on Easter Sunday, and appeared to all his disciples, which proved that Jesus was right about everything he said. Jesus really was the Son of God. Jesus was the temple that was destroyed and built back up in 3 days. And so the disciples had every reason to be as bold as you could possibly be, sharing the message of Jesus, wanting to tell everyone in the world that Jesus is real, he's alive, and he's the Son of God. So they were all killed because of the faith. All of them except for one, except for John, he got the best of it. He was left for dead on an island. But of course, he wasn't just left for dead. The Holy Spirit commissioned John to write the last book of the Bible, so we get Revelation. That's what was stopping John. John was on an island. Our big question for today is, what's stopping you? What's stopping us from our bold proclamation of Jesus, our risen King? 14 weeks ago today, hams were glazed, eggs were hunted and painted, and we felt Easter joy. And 14 weeks ago today, maybe we would have answered the question, nothing, or what is stopping you, with nothing. Nothing is stopping me. I will share the message of Jesus with anyone I bump into. I will share every picture of an empty tomb on Facebook. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Nothing's stopping me today. But that was 14 weeks ago. So today, what is stopping you? We have a few answers to that. Now, I'm not totally naive, and I'm not a perfect witness at all. And so I absolutely understand that we have reasonable human responses to that question. What is stopping you? First, I'll bring up one point. When I bring up the topic of witnessing, an awesome and blessed thing happens. I would be willing to bet that when I bring up the topic of sharing your faith with someone, someone comes to mind. Someone in your life comes to mind, whether it's a coworker that shares every opposite belief, or a cousin at the family reunions that used to go to church and hasn't in a while, or a neighbor you've never made a past small talk with. Someone comes to mind when I bring up the topic of witnessing. What a blessed thing. So I'm going to poke that just a little bit, and I'm going to ask one question there. Do you honestly think that there is anyone better or more directly placed into that person's life than you to share the message of Jesus? Just something to think about. But we have answers to this. What is stopping you? I have all sorts of answers. Here's my first answer. It's really awkward sometimes, right? Maybe I'm awkward. Like, what does the conversation with a coworker go like? Maybe you wait for them to bring up that one phrase because you have an answer, and then I'll bring up Jesus. That phrase never happens. So we resort to what's easier. I'll talk about football or politics any day, right? That's easier. Maybe it's awkward. We have other reasons. Maybe it's scary. Maybe we feel like we're going to lose something. If I go out and witness, am I going to lose convenience? Am I going to lose relationships? Am I going to lose the argument? What if they bring up one of those questions that I have no answer to? What do I say? Maybe it's scary to share the word of God boldly. We have more reasons. Maybe it feels like our witness is just going to die. Like, is what I say today even going to matter tomorrow? Because we're in a world right now where it's pretty uncommon to believe in Jesus. Now, it's not something that's praised by the public if we believe in Jesus. And so, is my witness going to die? Maybe like John thought his would here. Maybe what kills our witness is our logic. That I have to share a message of something that I can't give photo evidence of. So doubts start to pile on and I think, does this even make any sense? My logic might kill my witness. And then if that happens, I start to become like someone else that we heard about in our gospel reading for today, Thomas. Thomas was a disciple of Jesus. He walked with Jesus for years. He heard Jesus say that he was going to die, going to rise again, and going to appear to them. And then we see Thomas doubt when the disciples tell him that Jesus is alive. And we think Thomas is so crazy. Then we start to think of our own doubts. And we think, okay, I'm just like Thomas. Then we see Jesus make a fool of Thomas. Say, put your fingers here, see my hands, see my side. And now we think, I wish I was Thomas. In our doubts, we think, I wish Jesus would just come back one more time and show me just for sure. So I can know for certain that Jesus is alive and Jesus is with me. We think, I wish I was like Thomas. Now imagine being John. John is alone on an island. I bet John knows that every disciple is dead. Every disciple except for him. Imagine the doubts in John's heart. Doubt isn't probably just creeping into John's heart. Doubt is probably crushing him. Alone on an island? We can't even imagine. Knowing that everyone else that walked with Jesus with me is dead. Thinking maybe, is anyone even left to tell about Jesus? Did it even matter? Was it even worth it? I know what Jesus said, but wouldn't it be nice if I could see Jesus one more time, just to know for sure? Maybe we're just like John. And John hears a voice. He turns around. He says this, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw. And then it's verses 12 through 16, which again sound so crazy. It's all that revelation picture language, and so we ask, what in the world does he see? What does he see? Is this even real? Actually, it's simple. John is in his doubts and in his worry and confusion, and he turns around to see the voice that was speaking to him. And it's simple. John turns around, and John sees Jesus Christ. John sees Jesus, our witness, the firstborn from the dead, our faithful witness. He sees our priest, our king, the ruler over the kings of the earth. So what does any of this mean? It means John sees Jesus. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. We see all throughout Scripture that the Word of God is described as a sword, sharp and effective. This is the word coming out of Jesus' mouth whenever he speaks. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. This word from Jesus' mouth has power to do things that we can't imagine. John turns around and he sees Jesus. The hair on his head was white like wool, like snow. We know Jesus is pure. Jesus is holy. And his eyes were like blazing fire. Jesus, in his omniscience, in his omnipresence, sees everything, which is such a good thing. Because even while we sin, Jesus sees us and he forgives us. John sees Jesus who stands among the lampstands. These lampstands were the seven churches at the time. Jesus is standing right among them. A picture for us that Jesus is standing in and among our church today, speaking through us, living in the Word. And in his right hand, he held seven stars. These stars were the seven pastors at the time. What a picture for you to see that Jesus is holding your pastor in his hand. Every Sunday, every visit, every day that your pastor is in the Word, he is in Jesus' hands. There is no better hands to be in. John is in his doubt, he is in his worry, and he turns around and he sees Jesus, who's alive that day, today, and forever. And we, in our sinful worry and our sinful doubt, in our reasonable human confusion, our reasonable worry today, we have the same Jesus. We turn around and we hear the same voice, and we see that we have the same Jesus today. Jesus puts his right hand on John's shoulder and he tells him, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last." There are no better words for Jesus to speak to John and, of course, to speak to us. Don't be afraid. I'm alive today. Jesus has news for John. Easter news. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus has the best news. News that affected John that day, of course, affects us today and affects everyone on earth forever. Revelation is simple because it tells us Jesus is with us, Jesus is for us, and tells us Jesus wins. It's simple, and yet still, what a profound mystery. That the one who holds the keys of death and Hades holds your pastor in his hand and holds us in his hands. What a profound mystery that the one whom every eye will see comes individually to us whenever we read the word at night, whenever we visit in the font, whenever we take and eat and take and drink, Jesus visits us personally. What a profound mystery that the one who died for all, lives in all, lives for all, speaks through all. A profound mystery, really. But again, it's just so simple. In Revelation, it tells us Jesus is for us. He's with us. Jesus lives. Jesus loves us. Okay, now the same question from before. What's stopping you? Maybe we don't have the perfect answer still. But we do have a question we can definitely answer. What's stopping him? We know that answer. What is stopping Jesus from pouring out love and mercy and forgiveness? Of course, the answer is nothing. Think of all the things that could have stopped him, we think. The people that love him would have tried to stop him from walking through his suffering. We would have tried to pray him off the cross. That didn't stop him. Logic doesn't stop Jesus. Logic tells us when you die, we're going to stay dead. Logic didn't stop Jesus from defeating death on Easter Sunday, rising from the dead, still living today, giving us life forever. Logic doesn't stop Jesus. And we who have every reason to boldly proclaim his name and then still fall short every day, that doesn't stop Jesus from pouring out mercy, compassion, grace to his people. No, nothing is stopping Jesus. And so you and I, whenever we feel like, maybe like John or Thomas, when we feel like we're doubting or we're on an island, when we feel like our witness might just die, it's not going to live forever. Come to the foot of the cross. Fall on your knees like John did, right at Jesus' feet. Listen to the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm the living one. What's stopping you? What's stopping him? We know that answer. Nothing. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.